Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official.com.
THTC, the UK's leading ethical streetwear label. Organically grown and ethically built garments from hemp, organic cotton and other sustainable materials. 2019 is their 20th anniversary year. Join me with THTC as a Killer Keller podcast sponsor celebrating music, social activism, hemp and street culture. THTC, eco-fashion redefined since 1999.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
We're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Killer Vision inside Killer Keller Podcast. Big shout out to Graffiti Kings. And yeah, we are doing this proper. I am stoked, buzzed out of my nuts for this one because we got an OG in the building before it's time. Yo, listen, I'm telling you right now, the beatbox scene is in full effect and we're in Italy right now for my brother. Yeah. Azel, what are you saying, my G?
Italy representing. Let's go.
No games out here. So what I tell you, the Killer Keller podcast I'm fuck about.
Yo, I'm so honored to be part of this. Like, thank you so much. Pretty much I'm just, you know, a beatboxer from Italy. I'm actually the Italian beatbox champion. Right now, like, yeah, I'm just chilling. I'm just, you know, like, experimenting with some EDM stuff. I'm just trying to connect some, you know, some not truly different worlds, but still distant, you know?
Yeah. I feel that. Look, the progression of beatboxing is crazy right now. It's crazy. Mm. You know how these things happen, right? Because, you know, I've been in the scene for, well, I say scene loosely.
You're an absolute legend, Jesus. Yeah, you're definitely. But, you're part of the knowledge of the human beatbox, actually. Yeah. Well,
brother, listen, to hear it from you is a blessing because, you know, for every stage and every development of the path of the beatbox culture, you know, it refreshes itself. It's like skin. It's like, you know, it rejuvenates and your organism moves on. And the ways in which people consume beatboxing is a hell of a lot different than when I first started,
right? Of course, yeah.
When I discovered you, and I still to this day can't remember how it was. I think it must have been on Instagram Explore.
Yeah.
You know what struck me first was the manipulation of your face because you don't see shit, right? You don't see shit. Now, you beatboxers, if you know what I'm saying, you know that Azel comes with some like
next. I got you 100%. I got you. Yeah, 1,000%, bro.
Who's this pretty boy fucking his face up? What the fuck? So I went straight in on it and I was like, oh shit. He's on some other subhuman base.
This is so precious to me. Really, this means a ton. Wow, thank you.
It threw me, man. Like, and it was just like the way you went in. You went, you know, your attack was crazy. I loved it.
Thank you so much. I love this. Wow.
Listen, there's going to be so many questions and answers, but I know we're going to have a conversation here. Mm-hmm. But let's just cut to the meat, right? What's your philosophy on, because you know you're new in the
new to the scene, yeah.
How did you figure out the attack on this? Like, at what point were you just like, yo, I'm just gonna force the sound. I'm gonna go in.
Yeah, it was kind of like when I was like right now. Actually, I am 20 years old. So, like, it happened pretty much 5 up to 6 years ago, maybe, approximately, yeah. I was trying to, you know, noticing, especially to my PF snare sound, you know, this one. Mm-hmm. I was noticing that something was changing in the meanwhile that I was growing. It was more related, like, more specifically to my diaphragm, you know? The more I was using my diaphragm, the more I was feeling that change into my sound design, you know? My sound design was getting more squared, more concrete, more, you know? It was changing. I got fascinated by myself. I was like, well, wait a second. So, the fuck is that? I was intrigued about it. I was like... So in order to do this, I need to push with my diaphragm. Like, but you know, like back then I wasn't really like connected with this, you know, like moving theory of the body, like, okay, so I need to and add some sidechain, like, and like, you know, I was just evolving myself and getting into more and even more, like, day by day. So yeah, I just figured out, like, that was the first impactful moment. That was such a momentum, you know. I was like, wow, okay, so I need to just model my sound design. I need to create even more. And then, like, a year later, I created my own sound, like my one of my signature sound, which is the liquid bass, this one.
Yeah, that just absolute. That was one of the sounds where I was just like, what the. You know what? You know what's crazy about these sorts of sounds, right? Is as a beatboxer, you get the components, you get the layers that are going on here, but then it kind of goes back to the original, the 6 to 4,000 pound question, which is, how did you come up to the conclusion that those three or four, by the sounds of it, it's like three different combinations there.
Are you referring to the liquid bass one?
Yeah.
It is like a tongue roll position. So it's a tongue roll variation plus inward bass plus click roll. Those are three simple steps to get this. Yeah. I also made a tutorial which is getting, like, in less than a year, a million views, which is insane. Like, I noticed that people are curious about it, and I feel so happy and satisfied about, you know, like, having made this. Like, wow.
That's right. Sick. It's your own. It's your own sound. If you had a plugin set up, that'd be the Azel sound. And I was speaking to D-Lo about this. You know, there's a Killer Keller snare, right? And then D-Lo's got the crazy sounds as well. So it's always it's a standout moment in a beatboxer's
career. I would define more properly as a signature sound. You know,
there you go.
It's more appropriate.
Thank you. That's the one.
Yeah, I think it's more appropriate. It's like, you know, as a beatboxer, as an artist, whatever, not as a beatboxer, more strictly, like, you can have your signature pattern, your signature flow, your signature sounds. You know, it is about, like, having your own style. That's the key, I think, for your success as an artist or whatever. Like, be creative, be yourself, and be different. That's the key.
That's the key. Come on. What are we saying? People like us do things like this.
Yeah,
you know what? And also, I'll go as far as to say this as well. This could be controversial. It might be controversial. But I do feel that when you invest your time in creating sounds that you're trying to identifiably make as yours, there is an open creative door. And that open creative door, you know, you're talking to a 42-year-old man here, right? So that creative door, there is, it's almost like, you know, the term Goldilocks, where it's like such a precious point. Mm-hmm. You can make maybe like three or four sounds all your own, and you're just like bam, 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 because you get trained in that journey of creating them. But that Goldilocks, period, it does shut. So it's almost like you've got to figure out as many of those sounds that are all yours as quickly as possible. What's your thoughts on that?
I think you know, like, reasonably, I can get like a concrete example. Like, when I learned the whistle of Ballsy, you know, Patrick, you know?
Yes. Big, like, shout, Ballsy, all day.
Big shout to my boy, Patrick. But yeah, like, when I figured out his whistle, which is this one, you know, I figured out that, like, I could achieve something as a level up of it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I could achieve, like, next level sound because of that, because of this like, a new discovered sound.
That's,
I was like,
right.
Oh. So, like, I was feeling pretty confused at some point, because, like, I was like, okay, but that's too simple. I want to get it more complex. I want to just, you know, because there was a specific part of my mouth that was scratching. I was like, oh man, no, that sounds too simple. I need to just add some layers on it. I need to. So what I've been doing, it was just, you know, that creative path that you've mentioned before, you know, So I've added like my own voice, my white voice, if you will, like the, you know, with the, so it goes like, you know, or even adding the chest bass, which is like, you know, like this.
Yeah.
So I could achieve more forms of the actual sound.
Then like, an extension.
A sort of an extension, not like, you know, basically a new sound, but an extension of it, a new version of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I got always intrigued by discovering new shit and like having evolution of it.
The evolutions of the sounds that you're talking about, the way that you're adapting them is actually progressive. That's super important, and that's the advantage. That's a pioneer approach. A lot of people bite shit, and I often say to myself, that's really nice if you're learning how to beatbox, but it's only when you come into your own zone and you make things that are pioneering a sound that's already been created. That's evolution.
Yeah, that's evolution. Yeah, that's evolution. 100%.
But to get into the scene, to jump in the way that you have and a handful of others have over the last couple of years, it does take these zeitgeist moments where you're actually, you're bringing something bespoke, something like that, like the bass lines that you came with, you know, no one else was doing them. There's a Russian guy as well, I forget his name, that's doing some of the most craziest shit I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Are you referring to Helium?
Yeah,
he's crazy, definitely. Yeah, he's got like the craziest inward bass lines and also outward ones. Like, he's so sick.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, how could you ever pioneer anything advanced? But I know it will happen.
Oh yeah, I got that feeling. Like, most of the time I get that feeling too, because when I discover something new, I already know that in the future it's going to happen, like not a sort of evolution, but it's going to change something, like, I don't know, even on like default patterns, you know, like when you go like straight up to 4/4 patterns, like you automatically know that sound is going to change that pattern. Like,
yeah.
And stuff. So, like, in advance, I just perceive this feeling, and I do automatically see that vision, that sound is going to change something at the end of the day. Like, holy, you know?
Whoa, yeah. That's mad. So, where you can forecast, you're forecasting stuff the whole time.
Yes, correct.
That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah, but like the thing is, I am hyperactive as fuck, which means it is not like 100% every fucking time positive, because you get like crazy at some point. But you know, that's what I call passion and obsession, kind of. You know, I love it.
And that's,
I love it.
That's you know, that's an extremely youthful approach. Like, that is, that's why, you know, the baton is passed on so well to people. Just, you know, just curiosity, you know, like, as artists, we can't lose our curiosity ever.
No, never, never.
Do you find, we're going to get into the scene for a second here. I want to kind of get your perspective on the scene.
Okay.
It's a language where the development and application of beatboxing as a language is insane. Often I, you know, to have a conversation with you about it, you know, being in Italy, your language, the language and the way like your mother tongue works, words and words, that is also a creative input into your style.
Yeah, definitely. That is a key point of this topic, because human beatbox could be influenced so much because how well acknowledged are in music, how your mouth, tongue, and throat are naturally, because of nature, because that's the way how you were born. You know, the approach that you've got in human beatbox is in the visual, you know? Yeah. It's kind of unique.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a key point. And I, I'm not gonna define a struggle, because like sometimes I wish I could be like, I could have been French or Russian for that reason, for that specific reason, because most of those guys have by default, by nature, like some snares and some specific sounds that I am 100% sure that I'm never going to reach.
Because, you know? Because from a scene point of view, they are distinctive because of their approach to language and linguistic.
Yes, that's correct. Sheesh, dude.
That's real talk. You know why? Because from a scene point of view, and this is where you don't realize it, right? Your contribution, whether it's in the hat and you're out tomorrow, or you carry on doing some pioneering shit, which I hope fucking, I know you will, but your contribution is from your geographic. It's from your culture. Well, so for instance, your language, the Italian language in itself, that has influenced your beatboxing to the point that you've got distinctive sounds that now people can replicate or call yours, where other French, English, you know, Korean, Russian, they all have different languages that would never be able to replicate the ways in which you created your sounds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's insane when you think
And that's
about
a fact.
It.
Yeah, that's a fact, because I noticed by myself that I've got like a few specific accents, because I was born in the south of Italy, which you've got like a different accent of your actual language. Mm. Otherwise, if you were born in the north of Italy, you're going to have like different accents and blah, blah, blah. This on like in every country that exists. But my specific case, if you are born in the south of Italy, you've got like that heavy accent, you know, like a heavy and pressured accent.
Thick. Yeah, a thick one.
Yeah, that's correct. So like it was kind of easy, you know, perceive that like natural impact with human beatboxing that I've had that specific approach. Back then, when I was watching for my very first time Rockzell performing at the Red Bull BC One in 2005,
that was
uploaded in 2009 on YouTube, and I was like one of the very first guy watching that. And like I was like, holy shit! So he does the, and with my accent, I was like, you know.
That's
you know, because I was, you know, merging bold stuff, and I was like, yeah, that sounds actually crazy.
That feeling when you discover something, yeah, bro. Razel was one of the first people that gave me like the okay sign, like, okay, not only am I not alone, like, there are people that are relevant now that are doing it. And for my age at the time, he was like older than me, and I was like, yo, I'm just going to try this thing out. But as soon as and I'm sure you're the same, as soon as you tried to do something and it didn't sound exactly like it, it kind of felt like a bit of a light bulb moment.
Yes, 100%, bro. 1,000%.
Yeah.
Jeez, I feel that. But also, like, he was one of my, he was literally the very first beatboxer that I've ever saw and heard, even though remotely, that's a sad point. But yeah, like, I've had this impact, you know? I was really fascinated about it. I was like, oh my God. That's why also my name is Hazel, because of him, you know? I got inspired by his name.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
What? Oh.
Yeah, dude.
That's fire.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah. So like, you know, the godfather of noise has influenced me since day one. And geez, man, that was like, wow. That was such a momentum.
Wow. My head's blown, by the way. My head is just like, yeah, this is sick. Okay.
I also like explained that thing because I was explaining the history of human beatbox on one of my TEDx talks, because I've made three TEDx talks.
Damn.
and they are all uploaded on YouTube.
Check it out. You have to check that out, people. Come on.
They're just like in Italian language, by the way, but you can always use subtitles, you know.
Italian Cree, you know what's up. Go get on that. Get on that. Don't try and use subtitles with the beatboxing,
like,
though.
My very first, I'm going to actually make my very first like English TEDx outside Italy. That's a spoiler, by the way. About rhythm, which is a subgenre of dubstep, which is my favorite music genre. So
you love dubstep, huh?
I do love dubstep. I do. I'm obsessed with dubstep, especially rhythm, which is this a subgenre of it. It goes pretty much like 140 BPM as well as dubstep, but it is more minimal, more concrete, more smart, more meaningful, more profound, more powerful, more revolutionary, in my opinion. And I'm going to make a like 100% relied TEDx talk about it. So I cannot literally wait about this.
Yeah, but you're moist. You're on it.
I appreciate it.
When you say minimum and the rhythm genre, one thing I've noticed about your stuff as well, and you did hint on it earlier, was the parallel compression vibe of like doing a sound and letting it go. Like out.
Yes, of course.
I mean, you focus a lot on transients of your sounds.
Yeah. Also side chains mostly.
Side chains too. Yeah,
especially.
Right. So with all of that considered, do you ever, because obviously a lot of beatboxers do production, but it sounds to me like you're competent behind a screen. It sounds like you know your way around a production suite. Do you take a lot of cues from like trying sounds out on software first and then replicating them? Is it like an echo chamber where you do sounds, put them through the computer, then replicate them?
I actually made like it is not released yet on Splice, but I already made like a full relied human beatbox sample pack.
Yeah, boy, I did that too. I got mine too, bro. Fire. Look, see, I'm telling you, man, more beatboxers need to do that shit so soon.
So, with that being said,
sick.
Like, you know, I've had like that direct approach with Ableton more specifically, because I use only that DAW, you know?
Yeah.
By the way, for those that don't know what a DAW means, is a music production program. I wasn't used on FL Studio because of, you know, I wanted to, like, I don't know, Ableton seems to be more user-friendly for some reason.
Super intuitive.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, I love it. I do love it because, you know, I'm used to it. But I'm not going to define myself as a music producer because I want to reach a point in the near future, hopefully, to concretely 100% define myself as a music producer, and of fucking course I want to use my own sounds. I want to create, like, you know, full sequences, basically relied on rhythm patterns maybe, but I think I'm gonna go making like also grime trap, and maybe also some lo-fi. I do love lo-fi so
that
much.
Since what you're basically saying is you're creating. All right, here's where my head's going.
Tricky. I know. Yeah, yeah.
You're essentially creating a brand of sound. It is beatboxing, but you're broadening the approach simultaneously. So that, yes, I am the person that made the sounds. I'm also the person that created the sounds that you can use. And these sounds are, they're me as a creative entity, which is exactly what it's about.
Yeah, dude. But I think that in that perspective, like the human beatbox community, I'm going to talk about the majority of the people, unfortunately, don't have this perspective of seeing those sounds, those, you know, kicks, or even like abstract sounds, if you will, you know, basses, zippers, high-pitched sounds as a samples for DAWs as well as Ableton or whatever, you know?
Mm.
That's, I think, the main point where every single fucking beatboxer needs to reach, you know?
Thank you.
Jesus.
Done.
Every beatboxer should record themselves and making collaborations with producers out there.
Get this guy a fucking badge, man. You're absolutely fucking you. Right. You know, the podcast is done. We got it. The mission is brief. Bro, like, honestly, in my time, I've done many, many albums. Many albums.
I know. I love you, bro.
Oh, come on. But it often went over people's heads, even now to a degree, because, you know, the podcast that I do, there's an argument, okay, he's not beatboxing anymore, but it's completely untrue. When there's a swear word, I'm adding one of my beatbox sample pack sounds over top of it. Every intro, outro, every bit of the music composition is my mouth. And I feel like I have a more creative journey doing something to a platform than trying to go that conventional route of I'm a beatboxer, this is what you must do. Do you get what I'm saying?
100%, bruv. Wow. Yeah. That is stunning. I would love literally to see every single human beatboxer having that perspective as well.
Totally. I agree.
You know?
Have the sample.
Like, that's why I was talking about this concrete connection between EDM and human beatbox community. Because this needs to happen. Because I know there are like some little, medium, if you will, people, not people, but conglomerates that already perceive that sorts of connection, but it needs to have that boom, you know, to just keep starting this movement as a real thing. Like, imagine for a second, like, I don't know, a random beatboxer, Footbox G or Zeka, Footbox G from Belgium or Zeka from Spain, collaborating with an EDM producer, which could be Virtual Raya or Must Die or, you know, crazy. Whoever. Yeah. Like, imagine that.
Yeah, no.
Jesus.
And it only takes one. Like, I can imagine it now. It only takes one collaboration for you to go clear, right? You imagine this. Azel, he's done a sample pack. That sample pack has been used in a particular tune. Then you guessed on it as a feature as well in a collaborative production. Like, all over them, and this is, you know, I'm only speaking because this actually has happened to me, but where you come into play, and I think this is really important, is your relevancy right now, actually dictates the direction of the scene.
Thank you.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
You know, my time in that has passed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've got my pitch.
I don't think so.
I'm aware of what my agenda is. I have a mission brief. And one of their mission briefs at the moment isn't to try and reinvent the... I'm in this piece, right, where learning new sounds will be influenced by the new generation. Now, I'm all about learning new shit.
Of course.
I'm all about learning new shit. But there's a point in my career where I had to make a decision, right? This sound is mine. These sounds are mine. And I had to own them. You know, whether they sound old school, new school, or who cares school.
I think that could be applied to every artist's career.
For real.
Yeah.
So in that respect, where you sit in the mission, in the organism of beatboxing, is you have these new sounds. It's where you put them and how you represent them. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
It changes a whole genre. It can define a genre.
I do really, like, I think that at the end of the day, if you don't have a perspective of where you need to put your, like, I mean, not your own signature sounds, but where you need to recognize other music genres specific signature sounds. You need to not replicate them, but recognize them. Mm. And like, you need to just have a sort of, you know, how can I say that? A general, you have to see a music piece as an open project file on a DAW, you know?
Yeah.
In my perspective.
Yeah,
you need to study, because I am like, I do reasonably as well as Harry, shout out to my boy Rips One, as well as Harry, thoughts in the same way. Because we've been like, I compared my ideas with him. Like, we're both similar in that aspect. Like, we just, on our first listen, we just listen to a random track, whatever. But we don't have that, you know, how can I say that? Oh, fuck me. That hearing, you know, pattern of, you know, studying the whole track. We just listen to it first try. For the first time. Okay.
Like as a gloss over, you listen to it in its entirety as a solid sound. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you get curious, because like, if you get like that impact from that track, you get inspired to listen to it like another time. But the second listen, you know, that second listen, it is different, but completely different, because you start studying that specific track, you know?
But what is a tune without impact? Because I often feel like for dubstep as an example, impact is everything. Beatboxing, impact is everything. I think we're brought up as beatboxers, we're brought up on impact first.
Yeah. On being fascinated about music, I think.
Mm.
And like automatically by nature replicating it. But I think that this, more specifically, this period of time, like, I'm talking about me more specifically, like inspired me to have not that mood of replicating music, but have it establishing a new connection, you know, that has never been made before. I don't know if you know about like Snails. Do you know Snails?
Snails.
Yeah, no. He's from Quebec, Canada, but he's got like French origins.
I need to check this guy out. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He made like an overload amount of collabs with Skrillex, but, when I first had like my first version of my sample pack, I was like, oh man, this actually looks and like it feels like a messy, you know, like, I don't know, where am I gonna, you know, start this shit out? Like,
How long you been doing this at this point? How long you been doing the sample pack for?
Approximately signs like, from last February until the end of February until the end of May. So approximately like it was February, 4 months. 4 months, four months. Yeah.
That's cool. That's good. That's fucking that's good. Yeah.
But yeah, like the very first version that I got, I sent like to Ethan Byer, which is the founder of EDM.com.
Right.
I was really lucky to know him because of a very good friend of mine. So, like, I sent him this sample pack. He was like, oh, my God, that is so sick, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, nah, man, I don't know. I feel so, like, I feel insecure about it. And, like, by absolute, like, nowhere, Snails contacted me because of Ethan. Because from, like, in the background, Ethan sent the sample pack to, like, so many producers.
Wow.
And Snails hit me up, and he was like, dude, your sample pack is sick. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Fuck right off. Are you fucking serious? Like, what? And I called instantly, like, Ethan without further ado. I was like, dude. Fuck. Dude, he's fucking Snails. Yeah, and he was like, man, I just made my job. And I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Damn.
Like, we made a clip. That I uploaded on my YouTube channel, and also he uploaded on his YouTube channel and also on our Instagram page, social media page, whatever. Uh-huh. Because we made like 40 seconds collab, you know, a video collab.
Smashed it. Okay.
Talk to me. He actually made a whip, a work in progress tune with my own sounds. Also, we're making, like, I'm going to be on his next EP, by the way. So,
self-fulfilling prophecies going on right here, my brother.
Yeah.
You're not only doing exactly what we're talking about.
I need to push this.
Jeez, keep going. As you were. Keep going.
So, yeah, we made this 40 seconds collab video, which blew up, like, everywhere. It went viral on other pages as well, about EDM scene, about EDM music and other stuff. And I was like, I felt happy in first place. I was like, yo, thank you for the opportunity and blah, blah, blah. His name is Fred, by the way. He's a very good guy. I love Fred.
Okay.
Big shout to his nails. I love him.
Yes.
But yeah, like, at some point I felt like, unsatisfied. I was like, we made this video, we just, you know, launched this idea, we made, like, you know, people haven't stopped this, like, people have noticed this connection, kind of. But at some point I was like, nah, there's something, I'm missing something, you know, like,
in the sound library of the sample pack?
Like, as the main idea, you know?
Right, okay.
Like, I'm missing some. So that's why I called him back then. It was like a month ago or a month and a half ago. And I was like, dude, we made that video, but you know what? I think we should collab. And he was like, okay, I'm super down. So I think that's the key making the Human Beatbox actual music, which is I'm not gonna lie, Human Beatbox is already music. I'm not, like, don't get me wrong, it is already music. But, you know, like, it is not like exactly, you know, how can I say that?
It's an instrument
that can replicate music.
Yeah.
It can actually build music, but it's not 100% built music.
At the bottom end of the scale, it's an aid for people to come up with ideas spontaneously.
Yes.
On the top end, it's what you're doing right now, which is a collaborative element. It's a production. It's a fully fledged productional sound. It's its own thing.
It's a sort of new sound design that I want to learn, you know?
Totally.
Everywhere. Yeah, it's a
process. Like, look, in this world of beatboxing right now, you know, having done it for best part of 25 years publicly, this, where it's at right now, it's in the amazing place where it's its own world. You're speaking your beatbox to a choir of people that not only understand it, but it's resourceful, and it's got, you know, they dance to beatboxing.
Yeah.
It never used to be the case.
I want to mention Ripswan. I make people dance.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's revolutionary, you see. And that's where we're at right now with the scene. That's taken a long time. And what you have is time. And if you start with that mission, that will manifest itself over the next 20 years. It will.
Mm-hmm.
It takes people a little while. And I'm talking about the Joe Public of beatboxing and the rest of the world, because now we have this audience, we have our own scene.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own scene. We've now got to get people that aren't in the scene involved.
Yes, of course. That came from the EDM scene. That came from, you know, other boundaries, you know? Other scenes as well. Like, just people meeting each other into this circle of maniacs and spitting sounds everywhere.
Yeah, crazy.
That's the word, dude.
Yeah.
And that's, like, how it needs to go.
That's how it needs to go. And then what happens is it takes the music, it takes the collaborations with producers, it takes all those things. That's what widens it to a bigger audience.
Yeah, you know, I think that is the actual tool that is going to guide this process, you know? Yeah. That's why I wanted to, I was feeling unsatisfied about it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, well, we made that clip, people went crazy. But I think at the end of the day, we need to make something concrete, which is the collaboration process, you know? And so let's make this tune. Let's do it.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, look, there's so many, there's great examples like that. I'm sure it was back in the day with the electric guitar, the turntable world with the DJs and decks. You know, there's so many examples of how subgenres or bespoke instruments made public displays that became part of the commercial psyche. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just got to be patient and you just got to work with time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Definitely. Crazy.
And I love that you have that philosophy. It's like something that I've always envisaged. And, you know, I did my sample pack. It's called Body Parts, if you want to check it out.
Oh, cool. That's fucking sick. I still need to give a name of my sample pack. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I think I'm gonna name it like Weird Sounds and Shit.
Let's go. Bro, you should throw a competition out there for make the best name of it. You know what I mean? Get people involved. Like,
you know, I want to do it 100%. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, thank you.
I mean, because you know, people invest. What's the future for you apart from all of this stuff? What is the next plan for Hazel? What's going on?
For more specifically for Hazel, or talking about like me for Hazel?
I must admit, at this point in time, I'm calling you Hazel, but I call Razel. So it's weird, isn't it? Psychologically, because of the name Razel, I was just saying Azel, because it's that's the mother tongue of it.
Bro, you got mind blown back then when I told you that shit.
Yeah, but it suddenly clicked. Bro, it suddenly clicked in my head. I'm like, yo, it sounds like that's what I've been saying it like that the whole time, bro. Like that's what it makes in my mind, it makes complete sense. And you know what? I love stories like that where people actually genuinely have a historical reference as the reason why they're called something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I usually have a reasons for whatever I do. So like, that's why.
Yeah, Reeps has that problem as well.
I would not define like a problem, but like, you know, it is kind of, I don't know. It's a sort of obsession. Like, okay, I'm doing this because I want to do that because of blah, blah, blah and stuff. I'm that kind of guy.
I think it's super important. One thing I will say about beatboxers is and this is to the credit. Like, I feel like, and I said this a couple of podcasts ago. I can't remember who I said it to, but beatboxing is one of the only few genres where it's seriously every action seriously considered, and every historical reference point is recognized. It's like jazz. You know what I mean? People remember. They remember me. They remember Razel. They remember Dougie Fresh. They remember. You know what I mean? And then they remember the smallest of beatboxer to the most prolific of beatboxers.
Kenny Mohammed and shit. Yeah. Holy.
It's just like I've never known a genre ever like it. It blows my mind.
And it's so crazy. I love it.
We're proper thinkers. We do. We think shit.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. I love it. I love actually, like,
where do you think that comes from?
I think it comes from basically from hip hop culture. Like, back then, like, I don't know if you saw some sketches about Dougie Fresh more specifically. You know, back then, I'm talking about like, 70s or 80s, no, 80s, yeah. He was like making some beats for breakdancers, for I don't know, even like DJs or MCs, you know, more specifically MCs, of course. But you know, I find this so fascinating because it gets you inspired to a point where you actually, you know, perceive that passion and you're like, oh man, I want to spread this too. But I I just need to create the same boundary where Dog and maybe Rahzel and all the people as well has reached like back then. You know, I don't know, because like I can still see and notice how much hip hop is going on, how the culture is going. But I think like golden times, like 80s or 90s were like unique.
They were unique, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. But, and unfortunately, I was born in 99. So in 1099. So like, fuck.
But
I'm just 20 years old. Jesus.
Well, I was the same as well. Like I was really building my foundations around 99 to 2000. So my only reference points were those handful of people and that hip hop thing.
Yeah.
When you fast forward now, I think it's super important that the instrument of beatboxing diversifies into other things and people take that baton.
Yes. You know what I mean? And, yeah, definitely. 100%.
Just going back to your boundaries thing and what those artists achieved, the 80s and 90s artists, there's one factor, and it's the biggest factor of them all as to why some beatboxers are championed the most. I remember 2006, I was doing a press shoot. I was doing a fashion shoot for something. It was an English magazine.
Okay.
And this guy came up to me. He was the fashion, he was giving me all the clothes to wear and I was putting them on.
Yeah.
And he turned around to me and he says, "Hey, have you checked out that new channel, YouTube?" And I was like, "What's that?" And he goes, "YouTube, you heard of it?" And I was like, "Nah." And he goes, bro, you should check it out. You're all over it. And I was like, what is it? So I went on and I checked it out. And I was like, this is crazy. That piece of technology there changed mine and Razel's trajectory.
Yeah.
Changed everything. Now, Instagram is the new YouTube.
Yeah.
And back in the day, it was called Human Beatbox because the beatbox machine was new.
Yes.
So technology in these phases of popularity, the way they spike up like that's everything to do with what new technology is out.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. I think, you know, what I do personally think is that, like, the more the time goes, the more things get evolved, as well as human beatboxing, as well as music genres, as well as, I don't know, like, minimalism itself. I want to just mention it again, minimalism. Because yes, minimalism is, I think, is future in
For
music,
real.
In
I agree.
In art, in whatever. I love minimalism. You know,
I like the power of that. Like Nirvana back in the day, bro. Nirvana would have the verses really quiet, and on the chorus they go in hard. You know, like it's the balance between minimalism and what you put with that minimalism.
Yeah,
so sick.
It's the strongest thing that you can ever perceive in every form. I'm going to mention it again. In every form, it could be art, it could be music, it could be whatever. Mm. Fuck, I love it.
That's why I also
love rhythm, because rhythm, as I already mentioned before, it's such a minimalism extension of dubstep. Because dubstep, I'm not going to say that dubstep sometimes is minimalism, because it is most of the time. Well, it is more like musical, more like it's more touchy, kind of. You know, it's got that expression. Like it got, you know, it got that feeling. In the meanwhile, rhythm is more impactful, is more key, like, it gets to a point where you realize that it's just power and less maybe history and less, you know, stuff, which is like, it could be interpreted like in a positive or negative way, by the way. But I feel rhythm something that it is going to innovate like more and more and more.
Hell
and more,
you know? And I think applying that into any, like whether it's, you know, the nursery rhyme effect of having something really simple that captures a baby's ear, that ultimately is the thing that's what every musician, every artist ever wants. So minimal all day, I agree.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, totally.
I agree, bro.
Yeah.
Right. So what's the future? What's the future for you, bro? What's the future?
So like personally, in my private life now, in the meanwhile, I wish to keep going with this path of being a programmer, a software developer, which is like something that has been part of me since I was a kid, if you will, you know?
Amazing.
I love coding. I love just building programs. I just love plugins and all that shit. One of my goals is to make, I don't know if I'll be capable of doing that, but my own VST, you know?
Jeez.
I wanna make my very, like, you know,
This is gonna happen, Jay.
You're so positive.
It's happening, bro. You've already established it. It's happening, bro.
I wanna make my very first plugin for whatever DAW, for like Ableton, FL Studio or whatever. But like most of the time, I just think that it's going to be like a sort of overload of working, if you will. Mm. But maybe like I think it is something that, you know, it's time. I think you need to spend that time in a good way if you want to do it. Like it's a good time spending.
Some of the best stuff, you know, people don't realize how labor intensive some of the best things are. The 10,000 hours shit, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. People want shit done really quickly. Well, then you don't get the best results, you know.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. That's where I think most of the artists and people generally fail, because like I think that if you're afraid to fail, you will never get like anywhere, you know, because you will fail and you're like. You will fail more than you succeed, actually, you know?
Yeah, that's right,
But here's the key. Like, if you learn to fail, you're going to have, like, this momentum of learning yourself, like, even more patterns and and succeeding time by time, you know? Because if you learn the pattern of failing, you automatically have success.
You win anyway. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the key.
There are no fails, people. That's the truth.
Facts.
Facts.
Because the only thing that stops you is you. So yeah, that's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a way to wrap up, Zelma. Thank you so much for joining me, brother. I hope it was as much of a journey.
No, it was a pleasure. Thank you to having me in, bro. I seriously appreciate that. I love you so much.
Proper vibe, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Zell in the building. Big shout out to you, my brother. Come on. Killer Keller striking with a vengeance once again. Hey, Zell inside the place. Killer Keller podcast. Sharing is caring. You know what we're doing here. Street culture. Stay lucky, people. Peace.